Live from the Christian Research Institute in Charlotte, North Carolina, you're listening to the Bible Answer Man broadcast with Hank Hanegraaff. We're on the air because life and truth matter. The mission of the Christian Research Institute is to equip believers to always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you, to give the reason for the hope that you have with gentleness and respect. To join us on air with your question, dial 888-ASK-HANK, which translates to 888-275-4265. For more information, go online to equip.org. And now, here's Bible Answer Man host, Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy. And again, the number to dial to get your questions answered live on air today, 888-ASK-HANK. Translates to 888-275-4265, the Christian Research Journal, an award-winning magazine that no Christian home should be without. If you're not presently subscribing, you can subscribe and get the current edition of the Bible Answer Man Christian Research Institute and all the information in the journal as our gift to you. The Christian Research Journal, the current edition of the Christian Research Journal, will be coming out to you, again, as our way of saying thank you when you subscribe to the Christian Research Journal. So the first issue is free. The cover story is the Islamic State Islamic. We ought to recognize that as I'm speaking, jihadists fighting for the Islamic State or ISIS have been committing a range of systematic abuses. That includes mass executions, rape, forced conversions, the seizure of property, destruction of churches. And these jihadists claim that they are simply obeying the commands of Allah and Muhammad. But many Western leaders, including our president, maintain that the atrocities that are being committed by ISIS or ISIL or the Islamic State are strictly forbidden in the religion of Islam. So the question is, who is right? Since Islamic doctrine and practice are defined by Allah and Muhammad, that question can be answered only by examining Islam's most trusted resources themselves. And when you do that, you'll find that the Quran and the Hadith are filled with clear commands to subjugate or kill unbelievers, hypocrites, and apostates. Muhammad said that he was ordered to strive hard against the unbelievers and the hypocrites and be unyielding to them. The Quran claims to be perfectly clear in its commands, and Allah repeatedly warns Muslims that anything but complete obedience is a sign of unbelief. Reinterpretation of Allah's commands is thus extremely difficult to reconcile with Islamic principles of exegesis, and innovation is regarded as a heinous sin. Given an honest reading of the Quran and Hadith, a brutal theocracy is exactly what we would expect, as even some liberal Muslim leaders are now beginning to acknowledge. You'll want to read the article. It has to do with whether or not the real Islam will finally stand up. Answers the question, is the Islamic State Islamic? The article, a must read, but it's only one of many articles in the current edition of the Christian Research Journal. Another one of the articles that is noteworthy is an article titled Professor David Barish and the Talk. It's written by Dr. Paul Nelson. And before I spend a few minutes with Dr. Paul Nelson, I want to go right to the article that he's referring to. Every year, David Barish, as a professor, gives a talk. He gives his students a talk about evolution and religion and how the two might get along, and more to the point, how the two don't get along at all. He says, I'm a biologist. In fact, I'm an evolutionary biologist, although no biologist and no biology course can help but be evolutionary. And that's where my talk comes in, he says. It is irresponsible to teach biology without evolution. Evolution is not merely a theory, but the underpinning of all biological science. Teaching biology without evolution would be like teaching chemistry without molecules or physics without mass and energy. Since Darwin, we have come to understand that an entirely natural and undirected process contains all that's needed to generate extraordinary levels of non-randomness. In other words, in the talk, Dr. David Barish is saying that no evidence exists for intelligent design in biology, random variations and natural selection do the designing. He says to his students that human beings are nothing special, that they're animals like all other animals. And he says in his, quote, talk to students that are coming into his classes, that the problem of natural evil is insoluble and breaks the back of traditional theism. Dr. Paul Nelson, who was a fellow of the Discovery Institute specializing in developmental biology and evolution, has written an article for the Christian Research Journal that counters the talk, and he joins us now on the Bible Answer Man broadcast. Good to have you back with us.
Hank, it's wonderful to join you.
I always enjoy your speaking and your writing. This article is compelling, to say the least.
Well, when I was asked to write it, it reminded me, reading Barish's piece reminded me of my own experiences as a college student. So it kind of brought back this whole rush of memories of having similar confrontations.
You start, and the article really revolves around this point, that in the talk, the claim is that no evidence exists for intelligent design in biology. And you say this is utterly false.
It is utterly false. The problem for many students is they want to please the professor. It's a natural response. You want to get a good grade, and it looks like he's got the authority of the scientific community on his side. And so what I'm doing in the piece for the journal is encouraging students to realize that there's a lot more going on than they might realize. In particular, the case that Barish is making for evolutionary theory is much weaker than most people realize.
So what you have is a tremendous amount of bluster.
Yes. And in fact, in the article, I talk about Barish by comparing him to the biblical figure of Goliath. You know, a lot of words and a lot of intimidation, but someone that you can bring down with a well-placed stone if you know what you're doing.
You know, this is the kind of thing that's happening in many different avenues. I was just reading Newsweek earlier today, and there's an article by Kurt Eichenwald, and the article is titled, The Bible So Misunderstood It's a Sin. And in the article, he goes on to point out that the Bible is just a bad translation, a translation of a translation of a translation of hand-copied copies of copies of copies of copies and on hundreds of times. And therefore, what we have is completely unreliable. But again, when you read the article, tremendous amount of bluster, but not a lot of fact.
That's right. And I think this is a problem that actually extends deep into the history of the church and even the history of God's people. You may recall the passage in the New Testament where the Pharisees say, well, none of the learned people have followed this man, you know. And so there's always this role of academic or scholarly, so-called scholarly intimidation that believers need to overcome. So I want to encourage young people in particular not to take the bluster at face value. Now, that means they're going to have to do their homework. Because in my life, the way that I have felt real intellectual freedom is by mastering a subject. In the case of evolutionary biology, learning it in every detail. In fact, I was told by an advisor in my graduate studies I would have to be a better evolutionary biologist than the other students. And he said, if you do that, you'll gain the freedom to critique the theory. So really, I think I'm encouraging students, don't be intimidated. Plunge into the subject, learn its details, and that will give you power and mastery and the freedom to responsibly challenge someone like Barish.
And this is important. I mean, this is not just an academic debate. You've got one point of view, Barish has another point of view, but there's no real consequence to either. It's ivory tower stuff. There are real consequences to the talk that is given by David Barish to his students. In his view, human beings are nothing special. He points out to his students that there are merely animals like all other animals. And if everything is a function of brain chemistry and genetics, then there is no free will. In fact, I was reading a book by Alex Rosenberg. He is the R. Taylor Cole Professor and Chair of the Philosophy Department at Duke University. And in this book, that's precisely what he says. There's no such thing as free will because we are just brain chemistry and genetics. There is no difference between right and wrong, good and bad. There's nothing that ultimately can be forbidden in a universe that is merely material. And history has no meaning and it has no purpose. So when you are telling kids in quote-unquote the talk that they're merely animals, you would expect that they're going to live their life in a far different way than if they are told that they're created in the image of God, that the Imago Dei makes all the difference in the world.
I couldn't agree more. And if you're stripping away from a human being his or her reason for life, for living, for getting up in the morning. Life is hard, and if you strip away from people the hope that they should naturally have about their own existence and the sense of purpose and dignity about their own being, you're robbing them of their essential humanity. In a case like that, sadly, it doesn't surprise me that we see college students despondent and suicidal. I would never want to try to face the difficulties of adult life with such a worldview. Frankly, I have to be honest with you. I don't think someone like Rosenberg really actually believes that. He may, but why get up in the morning if that's your view? So I think you're right, Hank, that there are essential questions of truth and meaning and purpose that go far beyond a simple academic dispute.
Another point that he makes in quote-unquote the talk is the problem of natural evil is insoluble, breaks the back of traditional theism. We would say, on the other hand, that theism has the only plausible explanation for the problem of evil.
I think that's right. And the very terms that are being employed, like evil and good, presuppose a worldview, presuppose a metaphysics in which you have absolutes. You have things that you can plausibly call evil or plausibly call good. And again, I think there's a deep incoherence in what Barish is saying, because if he's right, we just have molecules in motion. We simply have matter doing what it does, and we're the consequences of that. And our perceptions, our very perceptions of right and wrong, are themselves unreal. So I think if you take his what Daniel Dennett called this Darwinian acid seriously, not only does it destroy human meaning, but it really ultimately destroys rational coherence entirely. So there are some fundamental problems with Barish's position.
I've often said that the issue of origins is the apologetic issue. How one views their origins ultimately determines how they live their life. Your comment?
Again, I couldn't agree more. If you believe, genuinely believe, that your existence is strictly material, determined by impersonal forces, then there's nothing stopping you, really. There's nothing stopping you from being the biggest thug imaginable. And in fact, I often think that someone like Joseph Stalin, who went to Orthodox seminary as a young man, he was educated in Georgia at the very best academic institutions there, rejected that, the whole theistic worldview, after he read Darwin. He took it seriously, and look at the consequences for humanity.
Dr. Paul Nelson, he is a PhD adjunct professor in the MA program in science and religion at Biola University, and he's a fellow of the Discovery Institute specializing in developmental biology and evolution. He's an absolutely fantastic writer. I mean, even if you didn't agree with him, the writing is worth the reading. The article is titled Professor David Barish in the Talk, When Goliath Starts Bragging, Go Find Your Sling. Thanks for being on the broadcast today.
Thanks, Hank. Anytime.
And the Journal, of course, is an award-winning magazine no Christian home should be without. You can subscribe online right now by simply going to equip.org, and the first issue, this issue, comes out to you free of charge.
Professor David Barish informs his students each term in what he calls the talk that the more we know of evolution, the more unavoidable is the conclusion that human beings are produced by a natural, totally amoral process with no indication of a benevolent, controlling creator. Learn how Christian students should respond to such academic intimidation in the latest issue of the Christian Research Journal. Subscribe to the journal today by calling 888-7000-CRI or go online to equip.org. That's equip.org. We'll be back with more of the Bible Answer Man broadcast, so stay tuned. Did you know that 23 of 25 major evangelical denominations are in decline? Or did you know that we're losing millions of evangelicals from the church in the United States? About 2.6 million per decade. And that what's left of a smaller, shrinking church is splintering over politics and a postmodern view of God and the Bible. Sadly, far too many Christians are simply oblivious in their bubbles, or too glued to their smartphones to notice the rising tide of spiritual and cultural decadence that threatens the church. Thankfully, others are receiving their wake-up calls and deciding to make a difference before it's too late. If you want to make a difference, simply call 888-7000-CRI and make a year-end gift to support CRI's mind-changing and life-changing outreaches. Or visit equip.org. Equip.org. This, then, is the climax of divine revelation. God with us. The infinite has progressively revealed himself in accordance with our finitude. Thus, prior to Emmanuel, general and special revelation revealed his glory. But in the incarnation, we have seen his glory. Thus writes Hank Hanegraaff in his book, Incarnation, the Ultimate Self-Revelation of God. In short, God's incarnation in human flesh is the apex of revelation, his last word. In taking on human flesh, God gives us more than the clearest image of who he is. He gives us himself. To receive your copy of Incarnation as our appreciation for your financial partnership, simply call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches, or visit equip.org. Equip.org. The Christian Research Journal is CRI's award-winning magazine, combining eye-catching design with well-researched articles to help equip believers in doctrine, defense, and discernment. Here's what's in the latest issue of the Christian Research Journal. Jihadists fighting for the Islamic State have been committing a range of systematic abuses, including mass executions, rape, seizing of property, and the destruction of churches and mosques. While ISIS claims that they are simply obeying Allah and Muhammad, many Westerners and Muslims maintain that such atrocities are strictly forbidden in Islam. Who is right? Other topics include Paul, Second Adam, and theistic evolution, unpacking anime's spiritual depth, what has art to do with evangelism, and much more. Start your subscription to the Christian Research Journal today by calling 888-7000-CRI or subscribe online at equip.org. A recent Facebook post strongly encouraged Hank to keep telling the truth. Why? Because the writer knew all too well the devastating consequences of bad theology. You see, John spent years in a well-known cult and family that discouraged his pursuit of education. Their church taught that Christ was going to return soon, so what was the use of pursuing an education you would never have a chance to use? What's more, John never married because he believed that taking a wife and having children would not be wise in the end times. Now much older and wiser, he looks back with deep regret on a life that could have been dramatically different had he only been taught the truth. To help others avoid the very real disasters that often accompany bad theology, simply call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches, or visit equip.org, equip.org. Once again, here's CRI President Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy. I was mentioning the Newsweek cover story on the Bible. It's written by a fundamentalist from the left, a spiritual terrorist seeking to decapitate truth, to foist his unique brand of fundamentalism on the masses through sophistry, sensationalism, through sleight of mind, and through ignorance. But there are some things that he says in this article that are arresting. Perhaps the most significant thing he says is that America is being besieged by biblical illiteracy. And that is true. Now, the point he makes or draws out of that is false, but it is true that most Christians don't read the Bible they pretend to defend. And that is a woeful condition that must be changed. Christians must not only read their Bibles, but they must learn how to mine the Bible for all its wealth. Because if they do not, they will fall for the sophistry of articles like the cover story in Newsweek. So I want to challenge each one of you listening to my voice right now, if you're not reading the Bible on a regular basis, or if perhaps you haven't read through the Bible, that you make a commitment before the Lord to do that this coming year. Tomorrow's New Year's Eve, day after that, first day of the year. And you can start the first day of the year by starting to read through the Bible. And when you do, you will come up with all kinds of questions. We're here to answer those questions. I've written books, produced materials to answer those very questions. In fact, the very objections against the historic Christian faith that are made by Kurt Eichenwald in Newsweek, I answer in my book, Has God Spoken? As I was reading through the article, I thought virtually every single argument that he makes against the Bible to completely devastate its credibility, as well as the credibility of Christian worldview, I have addressed specifically, directly. You read through the comments after the article on the web, and you find all kinds of people who are very, very excited about this article and say, it's about time that Christianity got bashed. It's about time that Christianity was broken. It is about time that we had the courage to once and for all bury this dead religion. And then someone says, well, this is sophistry, it's sloppy journalism, it's sensationalism. And then an atheist comes back and says, well, yeah, give me one example of where this is wrong. Give you one, my book takes on every single argument that he makes. Has God Spoken? I wrote it for that very reason. I also did a flip chart to make all of the principles memorable and simple to comprehend. Those tools available, you can find them on the web at equip.org. But back to my challenge. Read the Bible through and through this coming year. I've developed a legacy reading plan. It is unique. It's unique in that it requires you to process books of the Bible rather than piecing bits of books together. Because the goal is to comprehend the essence God is communicating by reading each book as a whole, not to lift passages out of context or try to make passages walk on all fours when they're not intended to. It's learning how to mind the Bible for all its worth. The overarching objective of the Legacy Reading Plan is to read through the Bible once a year, every year, for the rest of your life. Now, the reading calendar is naturally segmented into seasons and then the seasons into months. At the beginning of each year, you know that during the winter, your focus is always going to be on the Pentateuch and poetry, approximately 250 chapters. In spring, it's going to be on the historical books, approximately 250 chapters. In the summer, it's going to be the prophets, 250 chapters. And in the fall, the New Testament, approximately 250 chapters. And each season is further broken down into months. And therefore, every January, your goal is to read through Genesis and Exodus, and every December, to read through the Synoptic Gospels and Acts. And of course, there are going to be times when you will naturally read 10 chapters in a sitting, and others when you're going to read one or two. But more important than that, you will read the Bible just as you read other literature. Again, a unique reading plan. You can find the plan on the web. Simply go to the web and type in the Legacy Reading Plan. You'll find the plan and an explanation for how you can use the plan to read the Bible, again, not in bits, but in books, by genre. And you'll understand the essence of the books. There's other things that I point out, how you can find a quiet place to go to read that becomes your place of refuge, much more the Legacy Reading Plan. You'll find it on the web. It's free of charge. My challenge is simply to get you into the Word of God, get the Word of God into you. It will revolutionize your life, particularly if you learn to read the Bible for all it's worth or mine the Bible for all its wealth. Again, you can go to the web, equip.org, and you can see the resources I talked about, the flip chart, where I use an acronym so that you can defend the Bible as being divine as opposed to merely human in origin, the book Has God Spoken, and more. But you can also find the Legacy Reading Plan there, and it is absolutely free of charge. My challenge is start January 1st, reading through the Bible so that you will not be biblically literate, but rather biblically literate. A lot of you hanging on, we'll go right to the phone lines. Again, the number to dial, 888-ASK-HANK, translates to 888-275-4265. First up is Efren, Houston, Texas, Sirius XM 131. Hi, Efren.
Yes, sir. How you doing?
I'm good, thank you.
Yes, I had a question. So I wanted to know, how do we know God was behind the rise and fall of the nations in the Old Testament? And how can we know that the prophecy given through the prophets was not recorded after the fact? You understand? Does
yeah,
that make sense?
Absolutely. And this is one of the things that you find as a defining characteristic of the Bible. And God himself in the Word of God says this through the prophets like Isaiah. He says, I told you these things long ago before they happened. I announced them to you so that you couldn't say my idols did them, my wooden image and metal God ordained them. Or in the words of Jesus Christ, I have told you now before it happened so that when it does happen, you will believe. So there are many prophecies that are given in the Bible that cannot be relegated to history written after the fact. That cannot be relegated to good guessing, common sense, or even to luck. So we know the Bible is the Word of God through its prophetic prowess. Daniel is a classic case in point. There's no question whatsoever that Daniel is writing in the 6th century before Christ. In fact, I give all the arguments against those who would say it's history written after the fact in my book, Has God Spoken? But Daniel's writing in the 6th century and gives a succession of nations which could not have been done without God inspiring him to do that. In other words, it couldn't be done through simple human calculations or speculations. In stark contrast to what Daniel was able to do, if you look at modern prophecy pundits like Jack Van Impe or Hal Lindsey or Tim LaHaye or John Hagee, and the list goes on, you find out that they have one characteristic in common. They're 100% wrong 100% of the time, and yet people continue to listen to them. This is in stark contrast to what you find in the Bible, which turns out to be 100% correct 100% of the time. And what I do in my book, Has God Spoken, is I lay out these prophecies, including explaining the majesty of typological prophecy. There are many skeptics to the Bible, and they will say, you know, a lot of the prophecies that are claimed in the New Testament aren't prophecies at all. In fact, Matthew in Matthew chapter 1 claims a prophecy, and when you actually go to that prophecy, it has nothing to do with Jesus, it has everything to do with Israel. So, Matthew is simply dead wrong. The problem there is they don't understand the majesty of typological prophecy, and I explain that as well in Has God Spoken.
Okay, he says, I'll have to definitely get that book by you, and I thank you.
So. You got it. Thank you so much for your call. I'm thinking as I'm sitting here in my studio right now answering questions that Isaiah is one of the most stunning passages of all of the scriptures. And sometimes when I think of the words of the prophet Isaiah, they send chills through my body. God says, who has measured the waters in the hollow of his hand, or with the breadth of his hand marked out the heavens, who has held the dust of the earth in a basket or weighed the mountains on the scales and the hills in a balance. Surely the nations are like a drop in the bucket. They're regarded as dust on the scales. He weighs the islands as though they were fine dust. Before him, all the nations are as nothing. They are regarded by him as worthless, less than nothing. He brings princes to naught. He reduces the rulers of the world to nothing. No sooner are they planted, no sooner are they sown, no sooner do they take root in the ground than he blows on them and they wither, and a whirlwind sweeps them away like chaff. But on the other hand, the Lord, the everlasting creator, the ends of the earth, who does not grow tired or weary, and whose understanding no one can fathom, he gives strength to the weary. He increases the power of the weak. And those who hope in the Lord, they will renew their strength. They will soar on wings like eagles. They will run. They won't grow weary. They'll walk, and they will not faint. Word of God is enduring, everlasting, and you know what? You can not only read the Word of God, but you can know Him intimately, not just as an explanation, but an experience. Back with more answers. Please stay tuned.
Professor David Barish informs his students each term in what he calls the talk, that the more we know of evolution, the more unavoidable is the conclusion that human beings are produced by a natural, totally amoral process with no indication of a benevolent, controlling creator. Learn how Christian students should respond to such academic intimidation in the latest issue of the Christian Research Journal. Subscribe to the journal today by calling 888-7000-CRI or go online to equip.org. That's equip.org. We'll be back with more of the Bible Answer Man broadcast, so stay tuned. A humorous definition of a conservative is someone who sits and thinks, but mainly sits. With that definition in mind, could the greatest threat to today's church be that many of us mainly sit and don't think? If history is any lesson, the failure to both think and act during times of crisis can be downright dangerous. And for Christians today, increasingly battered by the gale force winds of militant secularism, the need is to think Christianly and act courageously. Faced with these challenges, will you be a conformer or a transformer? Will you be the object of worldly change or an agent of change for the King of Kings? To go on record as an agent of change, simply call 888-7000-CRI and make a special year-end gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches, or visit equip.org. An infinite God reduced to the size of a human embryo, the creator of time and space, invading both in human form? Such is the mystery and the majesty of the Incarnation, supreme being condescending to become one of us. As we look forward to the Advent and the Christmas season, perhaps nothing is more important than grasping the significance of the coming God in human flesh. Without the life, death, and resurrection of the incarnate one who walked among us, our world would be unfathomably dark. To be equipped as a witness and to be inspired in your walk, you'll want to feast on Hank Hanegraaff's book, Incarnation, the Ultimate Self-Revelation of God. To receive your copy of Incarnation, simply call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches, or visit equip.org. The Christian Research Journal is CRI's award-winning magazine, combining eye-catching design with well-researched articles to equip believers in doctrine, defense, and discernment. Here's what's in the latest issue of the Christian Research Journal. A growing number of evangelicals are accepting theistic evolution without considering the weight of biblical and theological evidence against evolutionary theory. The Apostle Paul's analogy between Christ and Adam in Romans 5 is central to Christian soteriology, yet it does not seem compatible with an evolutionary theory of common descent, whether naturalistic or theistic. Other topics include, will the real Islam please stand up? Did ancient extraterrestrials visit Earth? The Torah, God's Word, and much more. Start your subscription to the Christian Research Journal today by calling 888-7000-CRI or subscribe online at equip.org. Have you ever considered that just as a daily dose of the right vitamins can help to ward off illness, so can a daily dosage of truth be the best antidote for error? Or that just like the Ebola virus, error is deadly only when it is ingested? Sadly, far too many seekers and even believers have swallowed the distortions of cults and aberrant teachers only to discover how spiritually deadly these deceptions can be. And just like a wide range of potentially deadly viruses, these deceptions can spread if precautions are not taken. Why not promote the health of our nation as well as the church by providing a daily dose of truth through the Bible Answer Man broadcast and a host of other outreaches? Simply call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support CRI's mind-changing and life-changing outreaches, or visit equip.org. Equip.org. Once again, here's Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy. Helen Keller was once asked by a rather inept journalist if she could imagine anything more terrible than being blind. Her answer, yes. Having sight, but having no vision. I share that with you because CRI does have vision. In a nutshell, our vision is millions of equipped Christians changing their world. And let me briefly unpack some of those words. First, millions. That's not mere hyperbole. Our aim over a 10-year initiative called Going Global is to equip literally millions of Christians at home and abroad to effectively represent Christ to a spiritually hungry and increasingly skeptical world. Second, when I talk about equipping, I'm talking about CRI's sweet spot. You can think about it as ABC, apologetics. That's what Paul Nelson and I were talking about in the first segment of the broadcast, the defense of the faith. This is something that we cannot simply gloss over. When we have professors giving, quote unquote, the talk in classrooms and robbing students of their faith, because in the end, the students believe the talk proves that their faith was ill-founded. Apologetics demonstrates that the faith that we have as Christians is not blind faith, but faith in irrefutable fact. The B is biblical literacy. We want people to be able to understand what they're reading when they read the Bible. I go to China and various places around the world, Myanmar last year, Vietnam, Singapore, all over Asia. And what I have discovered is many new Christians can quote Bible verses, but they have no clue what it means. Biblical literacy is important because the cults now swoop in and they twist Scripture as though it were a wax nose. They don't have to use morals or ethics. They can use sexual manipulation, scripture twisting, and a whole lot of ruses to rob the new believer of their faith and pull them in a cult. So biblical literacy is critical. And then countering the cults. This is the C, the ABC, countering the cults. Countering the cults is more important now than ever before. You look at Japan. 125 million people, 25 million over the age 60, an aging population. The number of Christians, 0.02%. In other words, almost none, given the population as a whole. And yet, there are literally hundreds, if not thousands of permutations of cults. The door is wide open, and that's why we are part of going global in terms of our desire to catalyze and resource the greatest apologetics initiative in history. And this is not an empty Going Global initiative. It is well thought out, it is strategic, and we're going to be talking about it a lot in the year 2015, but we need people to stand with us prayerfully and financially. I was looking at the finances for the month of December. We're $86,000 down as I speak. Well, I shouldn't say as I speak, I should say as of yesterday. I don't know what today's income was. It's about 20%, maybe a little more. Will we catch that up in the next couple of days? I don't know. But many people standing together can make a difference. Now, I have to append my remarks quickly by saying that in interest of full disclosure, November was fantastic. So the Lord has been supplying for the vision that we have. But we don't want to fall behind in December. So anything you can do, you can continue to give up until 12 o'clock midnight tomorrow. In fact, there will be staff here taking your calls up until 12 o'clock midnight tomorrow. That's New Year's Eve. Talk about some dedicated staff members of the Christian Research Institute. I didn't ask them to do this. They volunteered to do this. So you can give your tax-deductible gift, and that's midnight Eastern time. So if you're listening to me on the West Coast, keep that into consideration, depending on the time zone that you're in. But again, I'm asking people to become a vital part of CRI's vision through their prayers, through their financial partnership, and through their conscientious use of CRI materials. Because you, and I mean you, can be a powerful agent of change for the kingdom. God's only placed us here for a short time. Let's have vision. Back to the phone lines. We'll talk next to Mary. She's listening in St. Louis, Missouri, listening on Bot Radio. Hi, Mary.
Hi. I'm glad that I got a chance to talk to you. I have a friend who I try to convince her about being a Christian, and she's very knowledgeable. She's, I mean, smart as a whip, but, you know, she's using all of history to say that's why she doesn't want to be a Christian. I mean, she uses examples like, and we all have the examples throughout time where Christians have used Christianity to gain power, and you know, like the Spanish Inquisition, the Church of Rome, and you know, at points of history, you know, where they were saying we're doing this in Jesus' name. So she's got a bad taste of Christianity just from all the history. But I've tried to convince her that, you know, not all Christians are like that. Those guys were trying to do it for power, but that's not what Christianity is. And I really don't know how else to describe it to her.
I think you've done a very good job. I mean, this is a classic smokescreen issue. I mean, it's a hasty generalization. To begin with, the question was anticipated by Jesus Christ long ago, who proclaimed that his followers would be recognized by the way they live their lives. So not everyone who says they are a Christian or a follower of Jesus Christ is a real follower of Jesus Christ. So to classify as Christians those who are responsible for instigating atrocities is to beg the question of who Christ's disciples are to begin with. Again, the Lord pointed out, not everyone who calls him Lord is the real deal. The second point I would make is this. Christianity, if in fact you say that if Christianity is true, there are many atrocities committed in the name of Christ, well, that question implies that Christianity must be false on the basis that atrocities have been committed in Christ's name. There's no reason, however, that you can't turn that argument around and claim that Christianity must be true because so much good has been done in the name of Christ. I think of the countless hospitals, the schools, the universities, the relief programs, etc., that have been instituted as a direct result of people who have been those who follow Jesus Christ, not in word, but in deed. And there's another argument, and that is those who use the argument that is posited by the question fail to realize that the validity of Christianity does not rest on sinful people, but rather on the perfection of Jesus Christ alone. The fact that professing Christians commit sins only serves to prove the premise of Christianity to begin with, that all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, and therefore they are in need of a Savior. I mean, that's the basic point. But look, the other thing that should be pointed out for those who are poisoning the well by saying Christianity has committed atrocities is think about just the 20th century, let alone what's happening in the 21st. One half of the human race was subject to a grand Marxist experiment. Think Mao. Think of the 1948 Cultural Revolution in China, where they believed they would create a new heaven and a new earth. 20 million died of famine. 20 million more died in Chinese re-education camps. Or think Pol Pot and the Khmer Rouge. They were going to create an egalitarian society, and in 3.5 years decimated 1/4 of all of Cambodia. Or Stalin orchestrating the largest scale massacre of a domestic population in human history. So evil knows no bounds. All have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, and that's why we need a Savior. I like what Ronald Reagan once said. He said, socialism only works in heaven where we don't need it, and in hell where they already have it. I think that's right.
Okay. I can give her some history showing that particular incident. I'm sure she would be very interested in reading that, but how would you suggest that I would bring the subject back up to her? Because, I mean, at the times that I have brought it up to her, she's like, well, even you're Christian and you cuss. And I said, well, I'm, you know, it happens, you know, but, you know, I'm saying I'm a Christian under construction, and I said, I'm not going to be perfect. Just because I'm a Christian doesn't mean you're going to be totally perfect. You only strive to be like Jesus, but you cannot ever be exactly like Jesus.
Well, we're not going to be perfect, but recognize that what you said bears a lot of weight. I mean, it's a very weighty thing that you've just pointed out. The entrance requirement into the kingdom is to acknowledge that you're a sinner, to acknowledge that you fail, and that you cannot become perfect in and of yourself, and therefore we have received a foreign righteousness, a righteousness not of our own that comes from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ. And that as participants in the kingdom, we seek to follow the principles of the kingdom. We fail, we fall, we repent, we ask for forgiveness, and we continue on in that journey, knowing that the Christ that lives within us continues to transform our lives. But yeah, you're absolutely right. We'll continue to fall and fail as long as we are in this human condition prior to the fact that we are glorified, which will happen when Jesus appears a second time. Written about this, there's an entry in my book, The Complete Bible Answer Book Collector's Edition. It's titled, If Christianity is True, Why Are There So Many Atrocities Committed in the Name of Christ? The answers given there in a way that are apprehensible and they're memorable so that you can communicate them. I'm going to stay right here for an extra hour once we go off the air, continue taking your calls. If you're hanging on, be patient. I'll get to you. For everybody else, you can start dialing this number for the next hour, and I will be right here answering your questions. The number, 888-ASK-HANK. Again, you can start dialing that number right now, 888-ASK-HANK. Numerically, that's 888-275-4265. So long for now.
Thanks for tuning in to the Bible Answer Man broadcast. Our website, equip.org, has an abundance of resources to sharpen your discernment skills and help you grow in life and truth. We provide books, videos, and informative articles. You can also listen to the broadcast live, download archived programs, get answers to pressing Bible questions, follow our blog, or connect with us via social media. All this and more at equip.org. Again, the address is equip.org. The Bible Answer Man broadcast is supported solely by listeners like you. We're on the air because life and truth matter. Did you know that 23 of 25 major evangelical denominations are in decline? Or did you know that we're losing millions of evangelicals from the church in the United States? About 2.6 million per decade. And that what's left of a smaller, shrinking church is splintering over politics and a postmodern view of God and the Bible. Sadly, far too many Christians are simply oblivious in their bubbles, or too glued to their smartphones to notice the rising tide of spiritual and cultural decadence that threatens the church. Thankfully, others are receiving their wake-up calls and deciding to make a difference before it's too late. If you want to make a difference, simply call 888-7000-CRI and make a year-end gift to support CRI's mind-changing and life-changing outreaches. Or visit equip.org. Equip.org. This, then, is the climax of divine revelation. God with us. The infinite has progressively revealed himself in accordance with our finitude. Thus, prior to Emmanuel, general and special revelation revealed his glory. But in the incarnation, we have seen his glory. Thus writes Hank Hanegraaff in his book, Incarnation, the Ultimate Self-Revelation of God. In short, God's incarnation in human flesh is the apex of revelation, his last word,
In taking on human flesh, God gives us more than the clearest image of who He is. He gives us Himself. To receive your copy of Incarnation as our appreciation for your financial partnership, simply call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches, or visit equip.org. Equip.org.